I'm Mark Bayshore. It's Current State here on WKAR. Last month, Governor Rick Snyder signed into law a bill that's been generating vigorous discussion ever since. Among other things, the measure bans local governments and school districts from spending public dollars on advertisement-style communication about bond and millage proposals in the 60 days prior to a vote. Supporters say those entities have gone beyond a just-the-facts approach and too often veer into advocacy. Some opponents have blasted the bill as a gag order that stops them from informing voters about the measures that voters will decide. To learn more, we welcome Chris Wygent, Executive Director of the Michigan Association of School Administrators. Welcome, Chris.
Good morning. Thank you.
Also, we want to welcome back Superintendent of the Lansing School District, Yvonne Kamal Kanul. Good to see you.
Good morning, Mark.
We want to point out that if you have a question for our guests, feel free to tweet us at KAR Current State or email us currentstate@wkar.org. A couple of things before we get started. This new law covers a lot of ground, more ground than we will cover today. We're going to focus on the communication ban today, and I'm hoping we can get into the other features of the law in the coming days, and maybe in part during this segment here today. Secondly, we'll mention that last Thursday, a follow-up measure aimed at refining or clarifying this measure was submitted by State Rep Lisa Postumus Lyons, who played a central role in the bill that was signed into law by Governor Snyder just before Christmas. We'll get into that a little bit here shortly. First, let's talk about what the governor signed just before Christmas. Critics have referred to this measure as a gag order. Chris Wygent, do you feel that way? Is this a gag order?
We certainly feel that way, Mark. This is a gag order that 60 days before a very important election to the voters, whether it's millage, whether it's consolidation of districts, whatever it might be, the school district cannot and is prohibited from providing factual information to the taxpayers in the community. We think that's very inappropriate. We want to be all about transparency. We want to make sure voters know the facts before they go to the polls. You're a voter in a community, a school district, you would want to know up to 60 days before what you're voting on. This law prohibits us from providing that factual information.
Yvonne Kamal Kanul, what about you? A gag order?
It does feel that way, Mark. I believe that it limits access for the public to important information that will help them make an informed decision once they get to the polls.
Writing on MLive, in response to this kind of criticism, Representative Postumus Lyons wrote that it's not a gag order, and I'll quote here, "It clearly doesn't infringe upon First Amendment rights of elected or appointed officials to share their personal positions on ballot questions, and it most certainly doesn't prevent them from answering residents' questions in any setting," unquote. She seems to be saying that you as individuals are not barred from talking about this. Are you disputing that,
well,
Yvonne?
I don't know that I would dispute it, but I would say that as a superintendent of a school district, large school district, I believe that my position as superintendent is a 24/7 proposition. And so I'm not sure what the fine line is between my own time and the time on which I am a representative of the Lansing School District. So that would be sort of splitting hairs as far as I'm concerned.
But Chris Wygent, are we agreed that this pertains to advertisement-style mass communications, direct mail efforts, I presume?
Yeah, I would. I think there's a difference between advertising and facts. What we know is that we cannot provide factual information, whether that's sending out flyers, however that might be. And around the state, that's very important for communities to know exactly what they're going to be voting on. So advertising to me leans a little towards advocacy, perhaps, but what we're talking about here are the facts of the situation.
I think a lot of people would agree, though, that line can get very slippery between sometimes you'll open up the Sunday supplement and if the little word advertisement weren't at the top of the page, you wouldn't be sure whether you're looking at quote journalism or quote advertising unquote. That line can get very, very hard to determine sometimes.
Mark, would you mind if I address that for a second?
No, by all means.
Because some of the critics of our position have said, you know, for years school districts have promoted their millage or bond elections with taxpayer dollars. So we did the research. We checked with the Secretary of State's office. And over the last 4 years, only three districts have been fined for doing this type of thing. And so we continue to hear this. We continue to hear this kind of random, yep, school districts are using inappropriate behavior. They're doing these types of things. Three districts after 4 years. So I don't know the problem we're trying to solve here.
In the let's talk about what Michigan school districts are accustomed to doing here. In these 60 days prior to a bond vote, let's say, are Michigan school districts accustomed to sharing this kind of information in this way?
They absolutely are. Whether that's flyers, whether that's on a sign outside of their school district, whether it's a superintendent attending an event, the who, what, when, where, and why, all of the factual information. Districts need to do that. Districts want to be transparent. And again, taxpayers have said, please be open with us about what we're voting for. And that's what school districts do up to 60 days before.
I know that school districts and administrators have been consulting with their attorneys on this. I'd like to hear from both of you.
Yes.
Is the Lansing School District in that position?
Yes, we certainly, as a matter of fact, the day the letter or the bill was signed by the governor, we contacted our legal representatives to find out what our obligations were and what kind of leeway we had to move forward with our millage issue in May. I would like to say that, we're all very familiar with the information versus advocacy line. And perhaps the legislature isn't as familiar with how we do this in school districts, but we have an information campaign by providing information, as Chris mentioned. We also citizen groups can come together and advocate for a millage, but that's above and beyond what a district does. So there's a very clear distinction between information and advocacy.
Again, I want to return to this issue, though, this allegation here that districts are guilty periodically of communicating a message designed to generate support for the measure. The irony of this is I'm led to believe there is an existing law that already bans this, but apparently it has been violated, Chris, as you pointed out, some number of times. It appears the legislature, the majority Republican legislature, just felt that this needed more teeth.
Well, and the key word there is felt, because they're certainly not looking at the data that three school districts out of 500 and some districts over a four-year period have been found guilty, if you will, of violating that current law. So I continue to hear felt. I continue to hear we think. I continue to hear there are examples. But I don't see those, and certainly the Secretary of State's office has not seen those as well. So I go back to what problem are we trying to solve here? It just doesn't seem to be relevant.
We're talking with Chris Wygent, Executive Director of the Michigan Association of School Administrators, along with Lansing School District Superintendent Yvonne Kamal Kanul, about the new law Governor Rick Snyder signed just a couple of weeks ago here, that bans local governments and school districts from spending public dollars on advertisement-style communication about bond and millage proposals. That is in the 60 days prior to a vote. Some local governments, Yvonne, have complained that the bill the governor signed could stop them from discussing ballot proposals at televised meetings specifically. Was that a concern of yours? Was that on your radar?
You know, Mark, I think about my colleague and good friend Teresa Weatherall Neal in Grand Rapids, who just passed a bond issue in this past fall. She went to over 119 different community forum sessions to discuss and share information about a very large bond issue. So it's not always possible for everyone to go to 119 the way Teresa did. She did yeoman's work. Some of that information needs to be done through televised communication, through radio spots, through flyers. And so there have to be multiple ways in which to communicate with our constituencies. Not all of our constituencies have access to a single way of communicating. In the rural areas, they may not have access to internet. In the urban areas, economically, they may not have access to multiple ways of communicating. So this is particularly difficult time for anyone to be passing this kind of legislation. And I might add, sort of, in the middle of the night.
That is another feature of this measure here that we want to get into here. We'll point out that Representative Postumus Lyons' inner follow-up measure submitted last Thursday addresses the issue of a possible ban of discussion of ballot proposals at televised meetings. Her follow-up measure stipulates that it doesn't impact the discussion of a ballot question during any meeting of a public body. Any reassurance there, Chris Wygen?
No, none at all. Quite frankly, I think that's cosmetic, because as we look at this, the 60-day ban is still in. And until that's removed for our association, we cannot support that change in the legislation. It just seems like for some reason that 60-day ban needs to stay in there. And once again, we find that unacceptable. Hey, could I expand on something that Yvonne said?
Of course.
We represent superintendents in every school district in the state of Michigan. And so while we think about the Lansing or other urban areas, Yvonne mentioned rural, I think about the Upper Peninsula and the communication problems and challenges that they have up there because of their the whole geographic area. And for school superintendents and districts in the Upper Peninsula not to be able to provide information to their voters when communication is already difficult, it just seems to me like that keeps people in the dark. And quite frankly, unlike the legislation that was approved, we're all about transparency, and we want to make sure that the voters see what they're going to be voting on.
Yvonne Kamal-Kanul, you've got a pretty big millage proposal on the calendar here for later 2016, the Pathway Promise.
Yes.
How will this law impact the way you go about communicating about the Pathway Promise?
Well, I will say, first of all, that I want to just appeal to everyone to understand that I have about 100 colleagues who are going for millages in March. And so the gag order is already in effect for them. I will stop talking about the bond campaign and the information with regards to our $120 million Lansing Pathway Promise proposal on March 4th if this legislation is not repealed.
The necessity of a follow-up measure here was mentioned by Governor Snyder when he nonetheless signed the original measure into law. Representative Postumus Lyons didn't lose too much time filing this. And the reason I bring this up is that there was, not for the first time, intense criticism of the process. You've both alluded to this, I think. Much of this bill, Senate Bill 571, wasn't brought up until around 10 p.m. on the last night of the 2015 session. It added a lot of stuff to the bill that reportedly was not discussed in session. No hearings. A lot of legislators didn't know really or didn't understand what they were voting on. Chris Wygent, I assume you're familiar with how the Capitol works. After all this time, was it as bad? Is it as bad as critics have labeled it?
I think it's even worse than critics have labeled it. It was a situation where no one knew what was going on. This was not on any formal agenda. We found out about it the next day. There were no hearings. There was no transparency. We have legislators who admitted that they did not read the additional pages and they still voted yes. Yeah, I think that's pretty bad. You know, here we are fighting for the right to be transparent, the right for 60 days within an election to provide facts. And we're fighting a legislature that right now did this in the dark of night. It is very concerning to me that we do hear from the governor about transparency being fair to taxpayers. And quite frankly, this lack of process just was very, very concerning for me, not only as a professional, but also as a citizen.
Has the Lansing School District ever participated in what would arguably could be defined as advertisement-style mass communications?
The Lansing School District has not participated in advertising. It participates in sharing.
Advertising style.
Oh, advertising style.
Again, the line can be squishy. I think that's probably what proponents of this bill
would say.
Well,
a couple years ago, we passed a non-homestead millage renewal, and we were very clear about the information that we shared. And advertising, from the way we understand it, and I think most of us, is that you are advocating for a position on that proposal. And so we do not advocate for a position on a proposal. We share as much information as possible about what the money will do. And I will add that, you know, in the world of declining resources, it's impossible for us to spend our general fund money on improvements of buildings, our facilities, technology, security, things like that. So millage proposals are an important way districts actually are able to get revenue to improve their facilities. So this is a critical juncture for the state of Michigan, I think, and its aspect on education.
We want to thank Lansing School District Superintendent Yvonne Kamal Kanul, also Chris Wygent, Executive Director of the Michigan Association of School Administrators. We are working to line up State Representative Lisa Postumus-Lyons to join us on the program to talk about her follow-up measure and about the original measure as well. Thanks to both of you.
Thanks, Mark.
Yep,
thanks,
thank
Chris.
You very much, Mark.